Hey everybody, today's episode is brought to you by our friends at Squarespace.com, a do-it-yourself website builder. Go to squarespace.com/cage, as in Nicolas Cage, and start a free trial with them. Free, 100% free, no credit card required, and when you want to buy, this is what you do. Put in the offer code literally. That's right, put in the offer code literally, and you will get a 10% discount. You're welcome. Build a website on us. Fake mustaches, short shorts, and underage sex. It's not a porno. We saw Sleepaway Camp, so you know what that means.
Now it's time for How Did This Get Made? We're gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater, because you know you wonder, how did this get made? Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? I am joined, as always, by my two co-hosts, June Diane Raphael. How are you, June?
Good, how are you, Paul?
Very good. And Jason Manzoukas. How are you, Jason?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Very good. It is Halloween week. This is our Halloween episode. A movie that you picked for us. We came to you, we asked you, what is their best Halloween movie? Everyone decidedly picked Sleepaway Camp, and we have a very special guest today with us. Please welcome Zach Perlman.
Hey.
Zach, you can see Zach on his MTV show, The Inbetweeners, airs on Thursday nights.
Monday nights.
Monday night, the Thursday of the early week.
Exactly. Should replay on Thursday nights. All right. I never heard of Sleepaway Camp.
Same. Never heard of it.
Yeah, I never knew it existed, and man, now I am so happy that I know.
This is crazy.
This is one of the most bizarre movies. It kind of feels like The Room at the top. Like, you're kind of like, oh, it's bad acting.
Yeah.
It's not really well shot. But this, just so you know, was a real deal film.
It was?
Yes, it was released. I just want to just set
I mean,
it up.
I get that it's a real movie, but I mean, like, to me, I took it to be a real amateur production.
Well, I will say this, that when it opened up, it was number one. It grossed a total of $433,000 on the opening weekend, and it was it knocked out Amityville Horror in 3D.
Really?
Yeah. So it made like $11 million at the end of the day for a movie that only cost $350,000 to make.
Okay, because that is shocking to me, because this movie is horrible.
I mean, that's why I thought, I was like, oh, this is like a low budget movie that no one should ever see, like, you know, like Jack Frost, he's killing and chilling.
No, this is like the camp itself had a class called Let's Make a Movie.
Yes.
And this movie
is the result of it.
Yes, it's the final project.
It feels to me, it doesn't feel like a low budget horror movie. You know what I mean? Like, in the sense of like, you know, like shitty horror movies that studios like barf out to capitalize on the fact that people, it feels like somebody who's like, well, my dad owns a summer camp. We could probably shoot a movie there. We'll get some cameras. We'll get a bunch of short shorts, and we'll get everybody we know who has terrible Long Island accents.
Crop t-shirts,
and short shorts, because we can't afford longer shorts or full t-shirts.
I saw so many outlines of penises in this
holy
movie.
Shit!
They're not even
shorts.
No.
They're just like penis holders.
Yes.
I mean, that's all they are.
They're cock baskets.
Yeah. I was saying that this is the movie why AIDS was invented. Because if you were aware, if these shorts are real in the 80s.
Why AIDS was invented?
By the government.
Oh,
but why AIDS came to the...
Leave your politics out of it.
I will not.
Here we go.
I will not. AIDS was invented by the government, and I'm using this podcast finally to get the word out.
Such a roundabout way
all
to
of
get
the episodes,
word out.
All of the episodes until now were just to get a big enough audience in order to put this message out.
AIDS was the government's creation. But I feel like... if you are wearing shorts that short, of course you're having sex with multiple people and not using protection. That was my point of view.
The movie, that between just the overt pedophilia. The over-sexualization of the under 12 set and the short shorts, I was like, this movie is insanity.
Although I will say that this camp is comprised of 11-year-old campers and 35-year-old campers.
Like, and they all looked like Sarah Silverman. Everyone in the film looks like Sarah Silverman.
She is furious, you just said that. She just tweeted, she's angry.
There's literally a 10-minute long baseball scene where it looks like 8-year-olds playing 30-year-olds.
Yeah.
And the 30-year-olds are so mad at these 8-year-olds.
Well, the thing is,
Everyone is mad in the film. Yeah. At all times, everyone is mad. And while watching that baseball scene, they were talking shit, like hard trash talking, and then pitching underhand.
Yeah,
really underhand.
Like,
it was so.
It was just like, and here you go, like lobbing the ball.
And the 11-year-olds rather are killing. They are crushing. They're always getting the best of the older kids who are, you know, I'm assuming meant to be like 15, 16-year-olds but are played by 30-year-olds.
But that's that was a weird runner in the movie because it doesn't ever pay off. Or did I miss it?
No, like, the baseball game was just the baseball game.
What is the point of that baseball game?
Oh, I think it's just to show us the competitiveness between the older kids and the younger kids and like how the older kids are bullies, basically.
Yeah. To me, the way I thought of it was the movie ran 75 minutes and like we need to add a 10-minute long baseball scene just to get this to theatrical length. Because, I mean, the baseball game, like there literally is a scene where someone hits a baseball, and there's a kid in the outfield, and he's playing a video game, like a handheld boxing video game.
Oh, you mean Mozart?
Oh, yeah, wow, you know
the kid's name.
The kid's name
is definitely Mozart.
I did not remember
that. Why was he called Mozart? Because we never saw him with any
musical
skills.
Because he's a nerd.
And he's just a nerd.
Okay. Someone from Long Island's like, what's a nerd? Mozart? Writes music, is a nerd.
So basically the ball is coming at Mozart, who's on his video game, his portable video game device. And then he's like, oh no! Drops the video game and then catches the ball.
Yeah.
With no, like, it was a lot of tension for no reason.
And you would think, you would continue to think that the younger kids are perceived of as nerds and lamos, you know, but they are always hitting home runs, catching all the balls, like, they are winning all the time.
But there's also no tension in this baseball game. I don't know when it's going to end, what's at stake. It didn't seem like.
There's no score.
There was no score.
No. At one point, they were like, what's the score? And then one kid goes, I think it's 6-8. I was like, what, you think it is?
It's not the best way to do it. All right, so let's just go back to the beginning. The movie opens up with one of the best scenes. I would say that...
Wait, is it the thing to mom? Because that set...
Wait,
for
no, the cold
open? No, the cold open. The boating scene.
Oh, God.
This shit is
title at the beginning, which was... fond memory of mom, a doer.
Yes.
I forgot about that. The movie is dedicated to a mom.
Yeah.
And it's not like a mom, a like loving woman who, you know, helped me through childhood. It's a doer.
A doer.
Wait a second. I thought that was just a title card that the person who put this movie on YouTube put up there.
No, I think that's
a part of the movie?
I'm assuming it's part of the movie.
Yeah, me too.
Oh.
Although your version of it is also fascinating.
Yeah.
Because I want to examine that. Because somebody's like, ooh, I got to upload this bonkers next level crazy horror movie to YouTube. But I got to do it as a tribute to my mom.
Yeah, this is my mom.
She did stuff.
You know what? The person who put up these movies, it's called Sleepaway Camp TV. So I don't think it's a person dedicating things to their mom. I think it is the way the movie opens. I think the person who made this movie, which is even more sick and twisted, is a love letter to his or her mom.
Do you think the mom was based off of his mom?
God.
Because she's...
The mom in this movie is...
That's
straight up crazo.
By the way, that's an amazing performance.
Do we have this?
Yes, we do. A creepy mom. We're going to play a clip of the mom in this movie. Here we go.
Richard, Angela. Oh, here you are. Look what I did. I packed you and your cousin some goodies for the ride up to camp. Wasn't that nice of me? Hmm? Any chips? Why, of course. I believe there's a whole bag. Why, I'm almost sure of it.
So,
Angela, isn't there anything special my little girl would care for?
So basically, you see the acting in this is not even like bad community theater. It's like bad high school production.
Oh, yeah.
No,
from an adult.
Was she making a choice? She was making a choice. And a fine one at that.
I thought she's talking as if there are no one there.
Because the character is insane.
That's true.
The
character has gone insane because in the cold open, which you started to talk about,
yes.
Mom, in the cold open, we see a father and two children on a little like sailboat in the middle of the lake.
Having a great day.
Across from the sleepaway camp.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, they're having so much fun. And then it cuts to... two campers, a man, a counselor boy, and a young girl in a speedboat.
Yes.
With,
With a water skier.
With a water skier. The water skier gives one of the best performances of the movie.
It's amazing.
The water skier gives an unfathomably good performance in this cold open. Okay. So basically what happens is the sailboat flips over. The kids and the dad are in the water, and they've got to swim to shore.
Well, the sailboat flips over. One of the kids throws the dad out of the sailboat. Yeah.
And then the dad calls
time.
Them schemers.
Yes, you
schemers.
You schemers.
But it's still all in good
by the
fun.
Way, yeah. But by the way, the dad is on the edge of a very small boat, no longer than like 5 feet.
Yeah.
And the kids are able to sneak up behind him without him noticing. And then just lightly tap him into the water. I mean, it's
he
the most, fine. It's the worst, like, scheme ever.
Right. He does, like, a Chevy Chase fall.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
They are a real couple of schemers.
So then the schemers and the dad are in the water together. The boat flips over. I don't know why.
Yeah, that's so weird.
Don't know why. Then there's another man.
Yeah.
On the dock.
Oh, right. That guy is the best.
That is just foreshadowing.
Yes.
Okay, who says... This is where I had some questions. He says the doc is on the way.
Yeah.
The doc is
doctor.
On the way.
The doc.
Doctor. On the
as,
way.
As we establish later, the mother is a doctor through the wonderful line of, even though everyone knows I'm a doctor.
Because the mother is
how
giving the kids
get that info
their own physical. Oh, my gosh.
Okay, then what happens is this.
Oh, I just put that together.
Yes.
That the doctor is the mother.
Yes. The mom,
I'm
when she
sorry.
The mother yep. gives the
yeah,
kids
yeah,
her
yeah.
physical.
I, now I get it now. Okay. And he's basically warning the dad because of what we learn later. He's warning it, saying your wife is coming back.
Right. Yes.
Got it.
Now, oh, you guys. So that was his wife? That was his wife?
No.
Yes.
That was the man. See? That was the man in on the beach's wife.
Yeah, yeah. That was the man on the beach's
and
wife.
Those two, as I mean, like
no.
I don't want to give.
No.
Yeah.
The man on the boat is their dad.
Right.
Yes.
That is their wife. The man on shore. Spoiler alert: is the dad's lover.
No. Okay.
What?
It
oh,
is,
right.
It is the
yeah.
dad's
right.
lover.
No, because that's her cousin. That the kids. All right. This is,
okay. Well, okay, let's just break this down without. Okay, because I
without
feel like
spoiling the ending,
we're dancing,
brought
we're dancing
to,
around.
Yeah.
Okay,
we gotta so, walk to the
by
end.
By the way, this someone had to pitch this.
Yeah.
This is my understanding of the movie. Okay.
Yes.
Father and son and daughter are in the sailboat.
Yes.
Father's lover, a man, is on the shore.
Yes.
He's saying,
true.
Hurry back to shore. Your wife is coming. The doctor.
Yes.
Your wife is coming. So he's like, oh, we got to go in. Okay,
that's
then.
Where you, that's where it's wrong. This is where. Oh,
that, and that's where you're
that's
wrong.
Where you're
that's
wrong.
Where you're wrong.
Really?
Because, right there is where you're wrong.
Because the mother that we met, the creepy mom,
yeah.
that's Angela's cousin.
Nope.
Aunt.
Nope.
Aunt.
It's
aunt.
Angela's, I thought, it's Angela's mother.
I thought
no,
Rick,
no,
it's
Angela's
not.
Mother.
Ricky is her cousin.
Ricky is her cousin.
That's what I'm saying. So Ricky is her cousin, so that's her aunt.
No,
because,
no, okay, no, guys.
Because
guys,
at
guys,
the end.
Guys, that's the misdirect. You're missing the misdirect. That's the misdirect. Okay. Can we talk about the ending? Okay,
well,
no?
Wait a second.
Angela
yes.
is the daughter yes. of the crazy woman.
No. Ricky is the son of the crazy woman.
Right. And then
the gay lover is that woman's husband.
Wait,
no.
say that
oh
again.
My God.
No.
Say it again.
No, he's like, closer. No. He's closer. He's
I cannot deal with this.
But wait, no. Because Ricky and Angela.
Why does she make. Okay.
Here's the reason.
She's
because
getting them to live with them.
Because she already has Ricky. That's why she's Angela.
Yes. Right.
Does that make sense?
Say that again, Zach.
Yes.
Slowly.
No, okay. I'm with this. I'm
okay.
with that.
Okay. So this is what this is the setup. We have the father and two children on
Look,
the boat.
Can we just reveal the ending because I'm getting confused?
Yes.
All right. All right. Well,
okay.
basically, all right. So all right.
It's
so good, and we're pulling it. We're all right.
Okay. Well, we don't. I mean,
I do. Can you? Okay. Fine. Without explaining the ending.
Yeah.
I can give you
a pretty good. Okay. Right. So we open on. Two children and their father.
Yes.
And without everything else that happens, his gay lover is on the
shore. Yeah.
And his wife is coming.
His gay lover's wife.
The gay lover's wife. The man who's on the shore.
Okay.
His wife is coming to meet them with their child.
I'm gonna say this.
Where is the dad's wife?
It doesn't matter.
Because basically, this
matter.
Is.
Oh, come on.
Wait.
And the surviving child would go to the mother.
Dead.
They're divorced.
She's dead.
No, they would explain that. They're going to such lengths to explain everything.
It's not her mom. It's definitely not her mom.
She's introduced to her. Unless your theory is this, which I'm going to posit, because it is possible. Okay, here's a possible theory, which is the mother was originally totally normal. Because of the, if this is their mother, okay, if this is Angela's mother,
yes.
The doctor, their mother was completely normal until this horrible, horrific accident happened in which her husband and one of her kids was killed.
Correct.
However, the problem with that theory is that we see a scene later on, at the end of the movie, where one of her children is introduced to her. So she must be so bonkers.
Okay, this is the... Oh my God. Guys, so my understanding of the movie is framed like this.
Oh my gosh.
Because of the accident... Okay, fuck.
If you have not watched this movie, you need just to stop listening right now. Yeah. Stop watch it and
okay,
come back.
Okay, because we're now going to talk about the ending,
it's on
right?
on YouTube. Just watch it.
We have
movie.
To watch this.
I mean, we have not even talked about any of the movie yet.
Okay, okay. Let's table this discussion.
Yeah, okay.
Because my understanding of the movie, basically, is that the mother has like a psychological breakdown, and with her surviving child makes a decision that provides the insanity that leads to the rest of the movie, and that the little boy is normal visitor. He is the cousin that is taking her to camp.
No, because he calls her the normal visitor. Ricky calls him and goes, oh, that's my mom.
Yeah. And
like doesn't he?
And also that explanation's if they had a script writer.
Yes.
That's like if it was a good movie.
Although you're saying that
Angela just happens to go to live with an insane person?
Yes.
It's because it's the only living relative.
The only living relative.
Oh, here. That's
she's
crazy.
She's not her relative, you guys. Let's, she's not her
guys,
relative.
Guys, this is crazy.
But you're acting like you haven't seen the movie.
No. But there is such an easier explanation that the insanity that happens to Angela is because of the accident. I agree with that. The accident is insane, okay. And then you're telling me she also then happens to go to live with a next-level insane person?
All right, I think... What I'm hearing is this. She would have had to go insane not just because her husband and child died, but also because she found out there that the guy that her husband was sleeping with on the land was so emotionally distraught that his lover died that she then also found out that her husband was gay.
Here we go. It's revealed that Angela survived and is now living with her eccentric aunt, Dr. Martha Thomas, and cousin Ricky Thomas.
Right.
All right.
Okay. So there we go.
I didn't even know they had last names.
We have to get into this movie because we can break in. There's so many things breaking before this amazing ending.
This is exhausting.
Wait, you guys, I just thought of something else, though.
Wait.
Oh, brother. Okay, so the guy on the land and the guy in the boat are lovers, but they might also have been brothers.
No. Well, there is tons of weird incest
brothers
in
law.
Stuff in this
brothers
movie.
In law.
How do you know that, though?
Because it's the... God.
Wait, no, but the lover isn't killed. Like, the lover, the man on the shore is alive.
But he wouldn't get that.
So we never see him again, so he would be married to the crazy mother, in theory.
Yes.
You know, but we never see him again, so the presumption is, my presumption is that he's just a male lover for the father. He is unrelated to, he's not married to the aunt.
The doctor?
I don't think so. That would be...
We don't know all the relationships, but there's so much good stuff to break into.
This is 1984, though. He could have been married to her.
There's so much good stuff.
This is why AIDS was invented.
This is why AIDS was invented, because of this. All right, so the movie opens with a boating accident. They're back... Remember when we started talking about this?
We're still
10 minutes ago.
First scene of the movie.
There's a water skiing couple.
There might be no more difficult movie in our history to try and unravel.
Well, I think I applaud us for staying away from the ending just for this moment. Because I feel like if you are not going to watch this movie, which you definitely should...
Gotta watch it.
I feel like we should walk you into the ending. So there's a water skiing thing going on. The kids are in the water with the dad. The water skiers decapitate the father and the son, I guess.
A child and the father are killed.
And leaving one child alive.
Yes.
Right.
And then that's the cold open of a movie, a senseless decapitation via jet ski or water ski.
Wait, do you see a headless body?
No, you actually don't. You just see
the body float by. The dad's body and then the child's life preserver.
By the way, this life vest. This movie employs one of the best things I've ever seen, which is the reaction shot, the screaming reaction shot. It goes like, cut to someone screaming, cut to a dead body, cut to someone screaming, dead body,
and
screaming,
every time the screamer is the water skier.
Yeah,
did you pull that by any chance?
No, because it just is just somebody screaming.
Well, here's the thing. Her scream... Now, it's really the person on the boat's fault who, you know, there's a camper who's on the boat. I'm sorry, we're still talking about the first 2 minutes of the movie, but there's a camper on
literally
the boat.
Literally the first 2 minutes of the movie.
It is so good, though.
But the camper, she wants to take the wheel from the counselor, so she takes control, and she's, for whatever reason, looking back at the water skier.
Both of them
around.
Apparently are.
Yeah,
because the water skier is the only person who sees that they're headed towards a boat.
Right, but the water skier's reaction in the water once she realizes horrible, horrific death has occurred is like she's done it. I mean, she's taking full responsibility for it.
Somebody help them! Somebody help those people! And then they cut to the two kids in the boat who are arguably responsible.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And they are just stone-faced, like, sitting there like, what happened?
Yeah, we don't know. We just ran over a human being and
like,
a boat.
Jumped our boat over their boat.
Not surprised.
I personally... no way the water skier killed them.
No.
No, of course not.
But
that's
she's
crazy.
The only person
the
who
water
has skier's empathy
son.
Or...
She dropped off.
Yeah, the water skier's like, you're going to run into that person. Yeah. And they're like, shut up.
Then they're going, what's she saying?
Yeah.
And she's
and
screaming, there's a boat!
Yeah.
And they're saying, what's she saying?
And then it cuts to the gay lover and he goes, Tommy!
This whole movie is about bad reflexes, too.
Yeah.
No one can swim fast enough. No, everyone is, it's like
that's
Speed
a huge
2.
Yeah.
Like something is coming at them like, oh, I'm going to stay frozen. The boat is coming. That guy could have survived. He could have swum to the left or the right. All right, so that's right. We meet the creepy mom. These kids go to sleepaway camp. We get to camp. It's full of pedophiles, angry camp counselors.
Angry
camp counselors.
Oh, my God. The first scene of the kids arriving at camp is they're all like running by.
Yeah.
And the guy, the pedophile camp counselor goes, he's like licking his lips and looking at all the young, like young kids. And he goes, where I come from, we call them baldies. Makes your mouth water looking at it.
Wait, I missed this line.
He says, we call them baldies because
they have no hair on them.
They don't have pubic hair yet. He says, where I come from, we call them baldies.
Where does he come from? And can I visit?
That guy is instantaneously, like, I was like, whoa, this just got crazy rapey.
By the way, not even crazy rapey. Like, that's a weird thing to reveal to a group of people.
Yes.
Like, hey, I'm going to fuck a young kid this summer.
I'm a child molester. He reveals to, like, six people that are standing there.
And one of the people just goes, that's him.
Yeah.
Like, just laughs it off.
By the way, it just goes to show you cannot trust the kitchen staff. Because the same kind of thing Sucker Punch, the same guy who runs the kitchen likes to rape young girls. That's it. They put them in the
real
kitchen.
Theme.
It's a real theme.
I feel like that's my wheelhouse 20 years from now.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be doing
just
a
like rapey, creepy adults.
Well, June pointed out a very special celebrity guest star in the kitchen staff.
James Earl Jones's dad.
Robert Earl Jones.
Plays Ben?
Yep.
He plays Ben?
Yep.
By the way, his name is Ben.
Remembering all these names
because it's so insane.
He plays the
Robert
dad.
Earl
the way,
Jones played. Yeah,
I noticed
Ben.
His name in the credits, and I thought that's a coincidence. But then when I heard his voice, he has James Earl Jones's voice and looks a lot like him.
That's crazy.
Yep.
And more crazy is that he would name his kid the same middle name as him. Like it's not like it's Earl Jones. Yeah, but anyway, so that's Robert Earl Jones. So they're going to rape some kids. That's the first thing that we see. We meet our amazing camp owner who is just smoking a cigar. They smoke in front of these kids nonstop.
Oh, yeah.
In the 80s, it was good to smoke.
Yeah, not just smoke, but like talk and be like so lascivious and sexual.
Yes.
You know, and I guess I appreciate that. You know, I guess I appreciate, like, the forthrightness with which, like, all the kids swear, like, a blue streak. Like,
oh,
in that way that, like...
to a way that I haven't heard it on film before.
But that's the thing is, like, in the 80s, like, Bad News Bears or that's Meatballs right. or those movies, like, kids swore like mm-hmm. we as kids swore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and that just I mean. Doesn't exist anymore. Like, a movie with kids now, you would never hear, a, like, a 13-year-old...
Fuck you, you fucking cocksucker!
You cocksucker, you fucking...
Yeah, yeah. It's like, it's so many F-bombs. And from little kids... we should also point out, and this is a very important thing, when we meet Angela 8 years later after the accident, she doesn't speak. We haven't
oh,
heard
yeah,
her speak.
Right. We also have to say Sleepaway Camp happens 8 years after the accident, which
right.
we haven't said.
Oh. Yes. Yes. They don't really let you know how long it has been. So they, you know, they're at camp. People immediately hate Angela because she doesn't speak at all.
And she just sort of blinks.
She doesn't even blink.
She knows she stares vacantly.
Yeah.
She
vacant
appears
stare.
To be like yeah. A real weirdo.
I feel like they give her mushrooms because she has no like pupil
yeah.
versus
yeah.
like eye color. It's just black.
Well, yeah. you don't know what's wrong with her. Is she catatonic? Does she have no emotions? But then guess what? A couple scenes in, she starts talking up a storm.
Yep.
And
a boy
like,
flirts with her.
Yeah. Like nothing.
The movie.
Interesting.
The movie is also, which I also liked, is like singularly obsessed with people, with kids getting laid.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, it's yep. just, again, like that 80s way of like all movies like The Sure Thing and that Tom Cruise movie where they're trying to lose their virginity. No, they're trying
oh.
the first one. Anyway,
I know you're talking about, yeah.
They're all obsessed with getting laid and Judy got tits and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, Judy's tits,
we're not
by
that
the
big.
Way, not that big. And Angela is told a number of times that she's a carpenter's dream because she's flat as a board and
yeah.
needs a screw. And her tits are just as big as Judy's.
Easy.
Well,
No.
They tell Rick,
no.
But not that much.
When Angela's rocking an A cup and Judy's rocking like a full B. Is this weird?
I also like.
Am I starting to sound like the pedophile?
Not at all, but she's not so flat. She's not so much flatter than Judy. Is what I'm.
You're right. You're right.
All I'm saying. I also like when the kid runs up to Ricky. He's like, "Hey, Ricky, man, oh man, you got to see Judy. She's got some big tits or whatever."
Yeah.
And Ricky's like, he says to his cousin, he's like, "We went steady." It's almost like it's so cool. It's
Ricky
cool.
is like the playboy. He's like the badass of
yeah.
the camp.
Yeah, but he hasn't. He's considered one of the little kids.
Wait a second.
Really
I just realized something crazy. Is this the first year that Angela has lived with Ricky? Because if 8 years have passed, was Angela?
Why hasn't she been going
why
to camp with him?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
All right. Well, we'll get again. That makes no sense.
I mean, I'm looking at the Wikipedia, and you're right. Angela is the cousin of Ricky and
there
his
mom. Is 8
I
years
just don't
that have
understand.
Passed.
Because when I saw that mom, I was like, this mom is crazy because of the accident. But now it is not that.
Not
she
that
is
at
just
all.
A crazy person.
Yes.
Although thinking about the mom again, I'm starting to think she actually might have been a man at one point.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, well, you thought
whoa,
she was a man.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Because she's
Stop
so
the clock.
Masculine.
What are you
she's,
talking
like, performing
about? Do you think it's possible that the... No. That the mom
the
is
mom
the gay
is
lover?
The gay lover.
But then how do you explain Ricky?
Wait a second.
How do you explain Ricky?
No.
Ricky is her son, right?
Yeah, Desiree Gould. It was played by a real actress. Her name is Desiree
Gould. I know. Well,
well
wait.
Well, we did.
That,
oh, okay.
But...
Right. All right. Well. All right. We can. Oh, Desiree Gould. All right. So we can get. Let's get into it. I want to hold off on one more second before because I think the end is going to open up all these things.
I mean, Wikipedia does. Okay. Yeah.
Well, the first death that happens is the one of the cooks, the guy who makes that comment about Baldies. Attempts to rape Angela.
Oh, yes.
Very quickly.
Very quickly.
He is like he's like, oh, you want some food? I'll why don't you come back into the pantry? And then starts like unbuckling his pants.
I'll give you
something to snack on.
Yeah.
Or whatever
so
he
weird.
Says.
It's so upsetting. And then Ricky finds Angela, grabs her, and runs out. And then the cook punches a box of tomatoes.
A huge box of tomatoes.
Then Angela comes back later on, or the killer comes back later
right.
on. And
spoiler alert.
Huge spoiler alert. I'm obsessed with this scene because the cook is salting an enormous pot of boiling water.
First,
yeah.
first he says,
"By the way, they
is
don't
it,
make
is
pots
it boiling? It's like a huge, it's like a 55-gallon drum of boiling water. It goes, is it boiling? And he goes, oh, it is. Like, so that we understand it's boiling water.
Yeah, boiling water.
And he says, that a girl?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he does say that a girl.
That a girl.
That a girl to the water that is boiling.
Yeah.
Not
always
got to
toss the water.
My favorite part is how angry that guy gets at the drop of a hat.
Yeah.
He's out of salt. Fuck this salt.
Well, yeah, that's it. Everyone, like everyone there is on the border of just freaking out.
Yeah.
That makes everybody a suspect.
So he gets on a stepladder. This is my question.
No, the pot is so large.
I'm sorry, a chair.
The pot is so large and he must stand on a chair to pour the salt in.
To salt it up.
Now, meanwhile, how much salt would you have to put? Like, I know you put a little bit of salt in a pot of boiling water. That's
Paul, I'm so glad you asked. Because this be our passion being that how did this get made turns into a cooking show.
We need
the question we don't know is what's he preparing the water for?
Well, I would assume it was corn.
Because
he had all that corn
on the
side. So
then you would put a significant amount of salt in there.
Yeah. So I thought that was interesting. For those of you keeping notes on the cooking part of the show, it was very interesting.
So he's standing on a chair salting this water for days, and
I mean, listen, that's a lot of sodium. These kids, this is at a time when we didn't understand the dangers of salt.
Yeah. And I also think, by the way, that that's why he has a few pounds to lose, because he's been oversalting his food. He's been oversalting
their
food.
He has really high cholesterol.
Okay, yeah, he's putting a lot, he's very heavy on the salt.
Big guy.
So then the killer comes in.
And we see a pair of hands coming up, hands outstretched.
Like first person. Now the camera is first person.
Yes.
Like we are the killer's POV.
Yes.
Which was
killer
crazy.
Cam. Killer cam.
The best part of every single death in this movie is the way everyone goes, oh, it's you.
That, okay, I
the beginning
actually,
of every
I have
death,
I have
that. It was unbelievable.
Well, I put together a clip. Yeah.
I'm obsessed with how he dies, though, because what happens is he realizes who the killer is. He tells her to...
He tells the... I mean, you're just spoiling who the killer is.
He... Well, basically...
I didn't say it.
By using a gendered pronoun...
You didn't even... Like, the biggest thing was...
I did.
The kid...
Yes,
just keep on moving. The kid pushes his butt... Reminiscent of the father who also got his butt pushed in the opening scene.
Ooh.
I'm
certain that is not meant to be a thematic reference.
In a body of water.
And then the guy is frantically holding on to his shelf. Now, meanwhile, he's like about a foot off the ground. At any point, he could go any which way, but he's holding on like he's holding on to the side of a building. Like, all right, help me off of this thing. Like, he is in no physical danger
whatsoever
at all.
And instead of being like, stop it, he's like, I'll get you an ice cream sandwich. Like,
no, when he falls, though, he could fall any which way.
Yes.
But loose.
So he falls in such a way that he grabs the 50-pound pot of boiling water, I guess,
and pours it on
all
himself.
Over himself,
burning him to ridiculous. Again, a yelling scene.
Yeah.
This yelling scene. If you actually go through the math of the yelling scene, and I have it written down, it cuts from him yelling in the same position to him gauzed. Same position, still yelling.
Yes.
If you think about how long it would take for someone to call the ambulance, because people just stand around when they see people get
no
hurt.
No cell phones there.
Film.
Yeah. Oh,
in this
for
film,
a long time.
Ben walks in and he's just like, and he's just watching this guy scream, boiling his face. If you think about it, if you think about a camp that's removed from a city, how long it would take police officers and an ambulance to get there, that man was sitting there for an hour and a half screaming in the same position.
Well, I would also want to add to that, too. Not only did the ambulance get there, and not only did the ambulance get there, but then a doctor got there, and they did a lot of work in the kitchen. Because when you see him being removed from the kitchen, he's still screaming, but is totally gauzed out. Like, that would be something that they would do in the ambulance on the way to the hospital. Yes. The doctor's like, you know what? I'm going to set up shop here.
There's a lot of fly traps hanging around here.
It's so weird.
And the doctor, they literally say to the doctor, were his eyeballs burned? And he goes, it's too soon to tell. Too soon to tell? You would definitely tell if his eyeballs were burned.
And is that, are they asking, why do you ask if his eyeballs are burned?
Because he just... Like his main thing.
That
is
was weird because I guess
children.
If it was the chef that was badly burned, I think the first question you'd probably ask is, are his hands okay?
Well, June, no, they
not when it's a pedo chef.
Yeah.
When it's a pedo chef.
You would ask, is his dick and balls still working because he needs to fuck young kids?
Well, their concern is mainly, the guy that runs the camp's concern is like, get him out of here. Don't tell anybody. We still need to make dinner. James Earl Jones' dad, can you be the cook? And he's like, I guess so.
Yeah. That's it. Camp goes on as normal.
Yeah, camp goes on as normal. That's the thing that's shocking to me is it's not until like 6 deaths in that the guy that runs the camp seems a little bit like suspicious.
Well, and he's not even suspicious. He's just kind of like, ugh. All right, we'll combine the camps and we'll make it smaller and we gotta keep this camp going.
Because he keeps being like, people aren't going to send their kids to camp if they know about all these deaths.
How much money do you think the camp is bringing in every summer from these kids?
This is a great question.
Because it seems like...
What are the economic finances? This is another great how did this get made pocket. What are the economic finances of the business that is part of the movie?
We'll break it down right after this commercial break. We'll be right back. You've heard me talk about Squarespace. I love Squarespace because it's so simple. It takes the brains part out of building a website. That's right. It's a do-it-yourself website builder that allows you to make your own blog or website in a matter of minutes. They give you a domain name. They handle the hosting. They have 24-hour customer support. Everything is drag and drop, so it's so easy to use. You drag something from your computer, you put it there. You can have multiple columns. Your text wraps perfectly around your images, so it doesn't look like some sort of bobo website that your friends had in like 1997. Come on, man. Your website sucked back then. All right. What's great about Squarespace is whenever anyone goes visits that site, guess what? Whatever they're looking at is going to fit the device it's on. Computer fits it. iPad fits it. iPhone fits it. Right? Any other device that you look at this thing on, it's going to fit. It's not going to look like it's out of proportion. You got to scroll over to make it look right. You can pull content from your blogs. You can push it out on Twitter, Facebook, whatever you want to do. This is the hub of the new information superhighway. You're in the driver's seat at squarespace.com. If you don't own a website or blog yet, go to squarespace.com/cage, start a free trial, no credit card required. That's how much they trust you. When you're ready to purchase, make sure you use the offer code literally and you get a 10% discount on us. Use the offer code literally. Go to squarespace.com/cage. Do it. When we last left you guys, we were talking about the finances of Camp Arawak.
Owner seems like he's going to lose. I guess if you're a camp owner, I don't know. It just seems like he's going to lose millions if this camp gets shut down.
By the way,
he's so
this.
Concerned.
He smokes a cigar, livelihood. And only millionaires smoke cigars in
that's
public.
That's true.
So he wears
black socks up to his knees with shorts.
With shorts.
By the way, we'll find out later on. He's also fucking the children.
Also asked on a date. She's a counselor.
But that's
a counselor.
That's a little less egregious.
It's not Meg. Is it Meg?
Yes, it's Meg.
It's Meg. And Meg is into it.
She's like,
he is like a Milton Berle looking old man.
Yes.
And she is like, I got a date tonight.
And I got a hot date.
What?
Ugh.
You are dating
now,
like
she asks him on a date, but he's already asked her on a date.
Yeah, she says, remember when you said you wanted it? How about that dinner you said you wanted it? And he's like, oh, sure,
The man was born in 1922. This movie was in 1983. Did it just give you an idea of how old he was? That's the age difference that we're talking about.
63.
And of course, Meg, the beautiful Meg, was born in, they don't say when she was born.
She's a teenager. She's maybe 16.
Yeah, she's 16 years old. And she's psyched about this.
Yeah. And is, probably, like, to me, Meg is the real bully of the girl. Meg and Judy are the bully.
Judy's a very dark character.
Judy is a bitch, but Meg is the muscle. Meg is the one that throws Angela in the water.
That's interesting. Judy's more like psychological.
Yeah.
By the way, Judy has a shirt that says Judy.
Yeah. I love Judy's hair. I've never seen so much hair.
Oh, just a
side pony.
Side pony to the
just
vagina.
FYI, if you have not seen this movie, chances are you have because it is almost you could see now that Wet Hot American Summer directly parodied this movie. Yeah. I mean,
there are even scenes that Heavyweight stole from this movie.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
It's like, characters are dressed the same in Wet Hot as they are in Sleepaway Camp. The side pony, all that sort of stuff. It looks identical too.
It's pretty fantastic.
I asked Ken Marino last night. I emailed him because there's like a kind of like a weightlifting kind of Jewish guy who's like the voice of reason at the camp. I go, did you base your character on this? He goes, yeah, part that guy and part a guy in meatballs. So that was the impetus to Ken's character. All right, so the second murder happens. in a boating accident. This kid is flirting with a girl, wants her to see the water snake, which would be his dick in the water. Flips over the boat.
Now, lots of boat flipping.
To get her into the water.
So he can show her his water snake.
To get her into the water. Mix it up a little.
Like, hey, there's a hard water snake here that needs to crawl into your girl parts.
It's difficult, like, to float in the water. Like, what was he planning on doing there? I'm serious, because their feet weren't touching the ground.
Hey, look, this is 83. People were fucking in all interesting
people
ways.
People could do anything.
Before the fear of AIDS.
This is right before the government created AIDS.
Right before the government injected AIDS into, like, the bug juice that they were all drinking at the sleepaway camp. That's how it got out there, bug juice. And so now this kid is now trapped. He just decides to hang out underneath the canoe that he flipped.
He's high on drugs, by the way. He's high on drugs.
Oh, is he high on drugs?
He and the other kid are high on drugs both.
Now, by the way, though, what did he do to the killer to get her so upset?
To get her so upset.
No, I said the killer.
Either way, we don't know. The killer could be male or female at this point.
So, he said the killer.
What did he do to the killer to get her so upset?
Please go see this movie. Do not wait for our amazing reveal of this.
I can't do this. I can't do it.
We gotta just get to the ending because it's going to be so good.
It's so good. So he's now high on drugs, singing a song in the boat. He's alone. Now I put two clips back to back because it is what happens when everybody sees the killer. So these are two clips of people seeing the killer. Here we go.
God.
What the hell are you doing here? I bet the rest of the boys will be interested in seeing you.
That's number one. Here's another killing.
It's you. What do you want? Well?
And then she gets knocked out. So they always are saying, you. Oh, I knew it was you.
Do you think, I can't imagine being 14 and seeing this for the first time, being like, oh God,
wait a minute. I didn't realize that Judy was killed by having a hot curling iron stuck into her vagina.
Yeah,
June pointed that out. I thought it was just being burned, but June's like, no, it's going into her vagina.
Yeah, of course it is.
Yeah.
Like in the shadow. It's like being in.
How did you think she was killed?
Burning. I don't know. You told me.
That was the only way for Judy the slut to die.
Yeah.
By getting a curling iron in the VJ.
Absolutely.
And by the way, would that kill you?
I mean, no.
It would burn your vagina
into uselessness.
But it would not kill you.
It would certainly not kill you.
Yeah.
No. You would just, like, melt your vagina.
Wait a second. Could there be a sequel to this movie where we see Judy with a burned vagina?
There are three sequels to this movie.
Oh, you know what, guys? I actually know the answer to my own question. There was a short film released on sleepawaycamptv.com. It's called Judy's Return. So you can follow the 16-minute return story of Judy as an adult. And I haven't seen it, nor probably will I. But you can see how her burned vagina does in the future.
Judy's a real sad character. I think what Judy admires, like, Judy and Angela have an interesting relationship because I think in so many ways Judy would like to be more like Angela.
Mm-hmm. Why do you say that?
Because Angela is innocent.
Yeah,
that's it.
I think Judy sees a little bit of her old self in Angela. And has become
last summer self.
Now that she's
sprouted
got tits,
those tits,
boys are looking to get busy, and she is down. She's fucking down to fuck.
Well, by the way,
it's crazy because that scene where that guy rejects her a little bit—I mean, not even that much—she goes nuts.
Yeah,
but I also feel like everyone in this movie, though, like they hate Angela because she's a mute some of the time. By the way, she's a mute some of the time. Some of the times she's a totally well-adjusted girl. It goes back and forth.
Oh, I don't know if I would say well-adjusted. She just talks.
She talks, but in a way that's like kind of, she doesn't, it's not like the mom. It's not overly creepy. It's like a girl. It's normal.
Oh, boy.
I have a really important question for when we get to the ending.
And so, all right. So basically, but all the kids like will grab her and go, how come you're so fucked up? Like, God damn it, answer me! And they shake her. They're always like shaking
because
her.
Because she doesn't talk, it throws people into rages.
Well, they project all of their own fears and insecurities onto her.
Well, when that kid was killed in the boat, even the camp counselor in the morning is like, oh, God damn it! Look at all these chairs! He's like throwing chairs around, and then he just uncovers a dead body. That's so decomposed in less than, five hours?
Yeah, from late night until early morning, the body is mangled, right?
But that's not decomposition.
It's not decomposition,
it's
water snakes.
No. A water snake does climb out of his mouth.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
That was hilarious.
What, you think the water snakes ate him?
I thought he was beat to death or something.
No, no, that was just his body being drowned.
Oh, no, it's snapping turtles.
Oh, yeah, he did this.
This is Savage Turtles.
This movie is so stupid.
There are literally maybe like eight times I said to my, I keep thinking in my head, this is the part of the movie where nothing makes sense.
Well, it's just like the entire film. It makes, well, okay. Well, by the way, so the kid is dead. We have a, then there's a, the police come to kind of inform him that there could have been an accident. This is the accident debate here. Listen.
As far as I can tell, the boy drowned. Of course, we'll have to wait for the medical examiner to check him over before we can be certain.
Of course he drowned. He was horsing around, a canoe tipped over, he must have hit his head.
I don't think so. Weren't any bumps or bruises when I checked. Though, again, I'm no expert on this matter.
It was obviously an accident. I mean, the boy might have got scared and panicked, right?
That could be a logical explanation.
So it was one of those fluke accidents we could not have foreseen, and that is all there is to it.
I don't know.
It was an accident!
So that is the camp counselor or the head of the camp just trying to justify.
He's smoking a cigar during that scene.
Yeah.
Too.
Oh yeah.
I'm not technically. That guy is the best. That security guard.
Can we move ahead to Meg's death?
Yeah. Sure.
Okay. So Meg.
This is the most improbable death.
This is the craziest death.
Yeah.
Meg is getting ready for a hot date with old fuck action camp counselor. There.
Meg and Mel.
Meg and Mel.
Hearts forever.
16 and 60.
16 and 60.
That's a new MTV show.
So she's taking a shower.
She's surrounded by like handsome men her own age.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. A lot of them.
And even handsome men closer to her age. Yeah. Than yeah. Mel.
But Mel's got all that power, all those millions of dollars from Camp Arawak.
So she takes a shower in a different bunk because all the girls are using up the shower and hers, and she's. By the way, singing the craziest song in that shower.
But not even singing.
No.
Humming the entire time.
But she's like, hum, hum, hum.
It's just like crazy, the fucking weirdest.
Maddening. With a huge smile on her face. Then all of a sudden she leans back on the shower. So her back is against the wall and the killer... he or she stabs through the wall and stabs her from her neck down to her ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In half, pretty much.
Yeah. Now, at no point in feeling the knife go into her back does Meg step forward.
Nope.
In order to avoid the knife destroying her.
Nope. Yeah.
She stays firmly with her back against the wall.
Feet planted
so that the knife can continue to wreak havoc with her back area.
It's almost like someone's scratching it and she likes it and she's like, oh yeah, get it. She like, yeah, she really edges that knife into her. Oh man. And so she dies and presumably stays in such a precarious position that her body, until Mel comes to find her much later in the movie, Mel walks into her room. She's been dead now for arguably a couple hours, right?
God.
A couple hours, but the minute he walks into the room, she falls into frame. Yeah. So she was hanging so precariously that he didn't even move a curtain. He doesn't do anything. She just kind of enters the scene. They could have made that scene so much easier if he just moved the shower curtain and she fell out. Nope. She just falls to the ground.
So weird. So do you think the knife was holding onto her back and in the wall at the same time? So
no, she takes the knife out and cleans it.
Yeah. Yeah, so she was just standing up, a dead person standing
against the wall.
Holy
it's
moly.
The wind shifted.
Absolute nonsense.
All right.
Honestly, that speech he gives, which had to have been improv'd,
when he sees Meg die, is
unbelievable.
I do have that as well. I'll play it.
God,
it's
so
a little
good.
Hard to hear because the music is so overpowering, but it's worth trying to hear. Here you go.
Oh my God. A new man. He did it. I had him. I let him go. I'll stop him. Gotta stop him. Never get away from me again.
And as he's talking with his like finger at his like almost like a stereotype of an Italian man, like, hey, I'm gonna make him a cup of cool and you're never gonna forget. And it's like he's like presenting this information like this. Oh my god!
I love that. All of the times where he wasn't talking, it would cut back to the back of a body.
Yes,
and it wasn't like it was like, oh, something else has happened to this body. It's the same shot.
Nope.
Same.
So fucking
and
weird.
And no blood at all. No blood out of there. I guess the blood was drained out. Oh my god. By the way, I want to just talk about one line that was pretty great. Hey man, eat shit and die, Ricky. Hey, eat shit and live, Bill. Yeah. That was one of the classic.
And all the other kids are like, ooh.
That was a great comeback. So a bunch of other camp counselors die, or kids die. But let's
get
to
the guy gets killed with the bees.
Yes.
Oh, who's wicked, like, wicked who's dump.
Like, this is amazing. The amazing. That's it. You have her in that, so read it, because I don't have her in that.
It's. I'll be right there, guys. But first, I got to take a wicked dump.
That's a line in this movie that an actor memorized and then said and takes a magazine into the bathroom where the killer, the genderless killer, reaches in and puts a beehive
by the way,
in the toilet with him.
Another slow-ass reaction. First, knifes out the screen on the window.
Yep.
Takes a while. And the guy doesn't. We never see the guy in the stall. We only see his feet. He's like, hey, who the hell is that? Continues to take his wicked shit, does not look around, and then
take a wicked shit.
And then someone like puts a beehive on a stick and puts it in there, and then
it looks like an old timey hobo stick.
It's a bindle. It definitely looks like a bindle.
My only problem with that scene was they put a very thin broomstick to stop him from getting out.
Oh,
it's we start on a pretty large gap between the floor and the top of the door. Just get out of there.
Yeah. And that beehive, like at the end when you see all of the bees on his on his dead body, that beehive contained thousands and thousands of bees.
His body looked so eaten alive, it was as if you locked him in a beehive.
Yeah.
In an actual beehive for days. Like, but this is like 2 minutes later, he is.
Oh my god.
The same thing with the boiling water. It's like his body was like boiled
Holy
alive.
Shit.
And that was after the amazing water balloon scene, which our main character Angela gets a water balloon and goes down like she was like John F. Kennedy shot, like you motherfuckers! Like, and these kids are playing with water balloons on the roof of a cabin, like just all on a roof, all fighting on a roof.
It's like that scene in never mind. It's a terrible scene, and I can't even think of a scene that it's like because it's so fucking weird, Ricky. Ricky's outbursts, like...
Oh, yeah.
I can't imagine where the headspace he had to go to.
Well, that's why I think in your mind you're supposed to think, like, is it Ricky? Is it Angela? We don't know who the killer is.
Yeah.
Because Ricky
is so volatile.
So angry.
And so overprotective. And even Mel is like, why are you... Even Mel suspects him at a certain point. He's like, why are you always protecting her? Why is you? You did it. I saw you by the thing or whatever. And, like, Mel is, like, accusing Ricky of doing it. The thing I wanted to talk about was at a certain point, Angela gets a little boyfriend, Paul.
Yes.
Paul starts to like Angela, and they're holding hands after movie night, and then he kisses her.
Oh, this is the best scene.
He kisses her behind the bunk. She's like, where are we going? And he's like, oh, I just want to show you something. I just want to show you something. And then they go behind the bunk, and he like plants like the meekest little kiss on her, and she reacts like he has just raped her.
Oh,
and she's like, I have to go inside. I have to go inside now.
I mean,
what?
Well, okay, now, don't you?
But this is the time where she has a flashback, right?
But she does
right?
like him.
But this
she
is
does
the,
like
that's
him.
What I want to get to.
But okay, this is the okay.
that's
this is,
what I want to get to.
But this is the flashback, right? Where she
literally it says smash cut to gay sex.
Yes, cutting to these two men, and like I don't know if
this
you guys,
is where you find out that the man on the shore was the gay lover. We didn't know this. We should have said that at the beginning. We
didn't know that.
I didn't think he was the gay that the two men were gay lovers in the cold open.
No way.
In this scene, which appears to take place in a black box,
it's like that episode of Family.
Where
Alex's friend dies and he has to go to therapy. It's like a community theater thing.
It's like a Brechtian production of something. where it's a black box, and the two little kids, now they're back to being little kids,
yeah,
are looking at the dad and the man like bone zoning.
Yeah, yep. Just doing it. But they also are bone zoning like a heterosexual couple. Like they're not.
Yeah,
like,
well, gay dudes do that.
Yeah, sure, but I'm saying it was tender.
It was tender. They were touching each other's faces in a tender way.
Yeah, they weren't.
And then the
ramming.
Two little kids, they weren't ramming. And then the two, then it
Why
cuts.
Why is it heterosexual to be tender?
No, I wasn't saying heterosexual. I'm just saying, like, he was saying they were in the bone zone. No. It wasn't like they caught him, like, going into one guy from behind. It was a little bit more tender.
And then that dissolves to the two kids, the little boy and the little girl in bed, like, touching each other like the men were touching each other.
But not even trying.
What?
Don't they touch each other's faces?
No, it's like E.T.
It's like E.T.
Oh, he's poking her tit.
He's like, his finger is just going slowly at her, but it never touches her, and it's super creepy, and the camera's, like, rotating around their bed. It's like, what the fuck am I watching?
Well, but that wasn't... I don't think we were supposed to take away that they were molesting.
She was slowly molested by her brother,
that was definitely incest.
It's definitely incest.
Yeah. Total incest.
It's like an underlining theme in the entire film.
You guys,
film.
That's not true.
Yes, it was. That's why they showed that scene.
No.
The reason why
they showed that scene was that we see the boy pointing to her... Which is why we're thinking she's the killer. Angela's the killer because he's pointing at her.
What?
What the fuck are you talking about?
There are three people who are going no, and one person is going yes.
That was not an incest scene.
It was an incest scene.
It was so incestual.
It was total incest. He's poking her tit. It keeps dissolving. It keeps dissolving to his finger getting closer and closer and closer to her. It's like that is like something
she's
sexy.
Pointing at her like you.
No, he's like getting closer and closer. Like,
yeah.
I'm going to touch this.
I'm going to touch you.
I'm going to do this.
It was so creepy. It was like they just saw sex and then they were going to mimic it.
That's exactly what it was.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, so now we're getting to, let's get to the meat of this fucking movie.
Literally.
So the whole movie is pretty much predicated on an amazing 5-minute ending sequence. So Angela decides that after she's been like upset with this boy, she's gonna finally take him to the bone zone.
Yeah,
and we cut to a flashback. Anyone who wants to describe this scene, we cut to a flashback of the creepy mom that we established in the beginning. Go ahead. Or do you have want to go before?
That's fine. What happens is a bunch of people are killed.
Yes.
And then all the people are running around chaos, and they run down and they find Angela and Paul naked on the beach.
The beach.
Okay.
And
then
it looks very tender.
Angela is humming and cradling Paul. Right. They come across her, and like her back is to the people, and she's naked. Then you dissolve into this flashback,
and it's Aunt Martha. And Aunt Martha, again, on a Brechtian set, starts doing this thing. We see it's like right after the accident.
Child's come to visit.
The surviving child has like a head cast on or something.
Yeah, yes. That's the funniest part is like that doesn't exist in any world.
No.
I have the dialogue here that I can read. So it cuts into this. Oh, you're going to enjoy living with us so much. Yes, I know you are. As a welcome home present, I bought you such a wonderful new clothes. I hope that Richard doesn't get jealous that I didn't get him anything. Oh, but then he's such a dear. I'm sure he won't mind. You see, I've always wanted a little girl. But of course, when my husband left, oh well, that's all water under the bridge. As I always say, water under the bridge. But it certainly will be a nice surprise when Richard comes home to find a little girl in his house. Yes, I've always dreamt of a little girl just like you. That's the monologue. We find out that Angela is actually the son.
The little boy survived,
not the girl.
And the mother raises the little boy, whose name was Peter,
yes,
as Angela, who she says, because it's from the angels.
Yes.
And then you cut back to camp, present day camp. Angela gets up, Paul's head, decapitated head, rolls off of her lap. She's holding a knife, screams this crazy blood-curdling scream, turns around to face everybody, and has a tiny dick.
A tiny little boy dick.
Bonkers.
That's how the movie ends. Angela is the brother Holy shit, it's crazy.
There's that monologue, though, actually, when you read it, answers a lot of my outstanding questions.
Okay, so from that monologue, we're to understand that the man on the beach was her husband.
No.
No.
Left. Left.
Yes, thank you, Zach.
Left.
Yes, but was her husband, but left her.
Left her for the guy.
So, yeah. So the two, right.
By the way.
The guy on the beach was married to Martha, you're saying?
Yeah, yes. I think so.
Oh, okay.
So wait
because
a second. So
doc,
you're saying
the doc is coming is right. Like, he's not going to be like, my wife is coming. It's
got
like,
it.
Ugh,
the doc is coming.
Fucking, what's her
the
name?
The doc.
Well, wait a minute. Because I really want to understand this. So you're telling me that Martha, Aunt Martha,
yeah,
and dude on the beach,
yeah,
were married.
Let's just call him Gary.
And Gary. Aunt Martha and Gary were married, okay? And then dad of Peter and Angela, dad of two little kids, yeah. Angela being the boy, Peter, right. Peter / Angela and Peter. Little boy.
Little girl.
Oh, little girl.
Little girl, sorry, little all girl. Right, sorry. Little
guy
girl.
On boat.
Guy on boat with kids. So he was presumably married to somebody, right?
Yes.
They are gay lovers.
Right.
Yes.
Are they related?
I don't think they're related.
She is their aunt. She is their
aunt. Wait a second, I figured it out. The guy on the boat with the two kids and the guy on land, Gary, they are related.
That's what
and
I
it
said.
Was incest. Yeah, so
that's
it's in- so it's brothers. Incest. So that's why she gets custody, because she is the aunt of that little girl boy.
I think she is the. I think it is incest in the sense that it's like through law.
That's I'm with that. Yes.
So
law.
Maybe
that's not incest,
so maybe
then.
The Martha well, and
family,
the kids.
Family.
So maybe Martha and the kids' mothers were sisters.
Right.
And these two men married these two sisters, but decided to bone zone each other. But they were not related except by marriage.
Because because that's how the kids caught them. The two little kids were like at a summer house when they had some sort of family thing, and that's when they saw the men having sex in the bed.
So we're to understand then that when the doc is arriving at the summer home, she also has Ricky in tow, which they never mention.
Yeah, they never mention Ricky.
By the way, I do think that we were wrong on one thing. This did not take place, the boating accident did not take place in front of the camp, even though it would lead you to believe because the camera pans off the camp.
It did. It totally did.
It did?
It had
100%.
All right.
Camp.
I thought
like those kids came from a camp.
Yeah, I mean, like, he even goes like,
okay.
He was like, I don't want to lose my job, but okay.
All right, maybe you're right. Okay.
So gotta be.
Right. Gotta be. And that's why she starts to go crazy when she's back at the camp.
Back at the camp, the water, it's just terrible.
It's too much. It's too much for her.
All right.
So we're also to understand, though, that Angela / Peter is a gay boy? Is that also at work?
No, she's not gay.
But she likes Pete Paul.
Oh, she is gay.
Well, Paul does.
She's been raised as a girl, though, so she must be deeply conflicted, which is why, like, she's been raised as a girl, so probably has a crush on Paul because of... Because
he's just a guy.
He's a guy paying attention to her, but I'm sure feels that's why the kiss is so... She reacts to the kiss so weird.
And that's also why she won't get in the shower.
That's also why she won't get in the shower.
Says, right. Yeah. I think she's just an asexual murderer.
See, Wikipedia just says...
That's interesting.
Wikipedia says the man on the shore is just his lover. Okay. It does. That's all it says about that
but
man on the shore.
But it says the doc is coming.
Yeah, the doctor's coming.
Well, why would the doctor be coming to the beach?
It's just...
because the doctor is the aunt of the kids.
So just unrelated, the doctor.
Unrelated, the doctor's coming? Unrelated, he's like, you have to get out of the water. The doctor is
maybe
coming.
Maybe it's your sister's coming. He could have said your sister's
no,
coming.
No, he said the doc.
No, I know, but he could have said...
Your sister's coming.
Your sister's, you know, like, somebody's coming. Hurry up, get to shore. We have to cover up all our gay stuff.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Did you guys notice that cop at the end had the worst
fake mustache?
Oh, yeah, the worst fake mustache
I've ever seen.
I mean,
seen.
Like, that was bought at a prop store.
Like, it was worse than Eric Bana's beard and Hannah.
Well, again, if you go on the idea that this is a real camp that made a movie over a summer, it was not that bad. I do want to talk about the spirit finger death. Every time people get killed in this movie, their hands kind of go up like, and like they're in spirit fingers. Like they just go really wide and back and forth because they only show it through shadows.
Do you think, though, that we're to understand that Ricky, does Ricky know that Angela's a dude?
That is a terrific question.
No way. No way.
Well, because the mother does say he'll be so happy to have a little sister.
Yeah.
So the presumption being...
But the mom said, oh,
the mom
guess
is
what?
Going to tell him it's a little girl. I don't know.
Then why is he... Oh, is that why he's so protective? He's like, it's my sister. It's my girl sister.
I do want to just clarify one thing here.
So much.
Do you know who was supposed to originally play the part of Angela? Jane Krakowski.
What? No way. Yes, Where did you see that?
On IMDb. Apparently she dropped out at the end.
That's fucking crazy.
And the movie was indeed dedicated to the director's mother. Those are two things, just answering those questions, just so we know. A real doer.
Can you imagine if that movie was dedicated to you by your child?
I'd be like, what did I do?
I have not done.
I will say this. People should 100% watch this movie. It's on YouTube
in its entirety. It's amazing.
And even if you're not going to watch the movie, watch the last 10 minutes.
Yeah. Well, you have to, I think the payoff only works with the full.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
I will tell you also, a new film, Return to Sleepaway Camp, was completed in 2003 and initially struggled to find distribution. It was directed by the same guy of the original. He decided this chapter would ignore the storylines of the previous sequels, stating he wanted to pick up where the original film ended. According to Fangoria, the digital effects were redone in 2008, and the film finally found distribution and was released in 2008. And basically, it is, if you want to follow the story, it's called Return to Sleepaway Camp.
I just would like to add something to this. Okay, that movie, you're correct, is a sequel that the director made. But
yes,
in the 80s, another director made two sequels called Sleepaway Camp 2, Unhappy Campers, and Sleepaway Camp 3, Teenage Wasteland. In them, Angela, now played by Bruce Springsteen's younger sister, Pamela Springsteen, resurfaces at a nearby sleepaway camp, but this time masquerading as a counselor after a sex change that made her entirely female. Then there's a fourth, there's another sequel called Sleepaway Camp 4, The Survivor, directed by a whole different person, which was partially filmed and never released. This is all Wikipedia.
Can I just bring up how Paul pitches himself as the best friend ever? He's like, yeah, me and Ricky hung out all, like, we're best friends.
Yeah.
These are the shenanigans we got into last year. And she's just, like, thoroughly impressed to the point where she's like, that's great. And that's her first line.
Yep. First line she speaks, like 45 minutes into the movie.
Yeah, and it's...
But by the way, I think the really big question that remains is, why didn't she go to camp before? What was she doing?
Being a boy. I mean, like, just probably the mom probably didn't want to...
She couldn't do the physical.
No, but the mom did the physical. That explains why the mom did the physical, too.
Guys, by the way, I'm reading the whole plot summary for Return to Sleepaway Camp. It looks like everyone had returned. Ricky returns, Ronnie returns, every surviving victim returns many years later to find the real killer. Oh, that will be...
The real killer? It wasn't Angela?
Well, I think maybe Angela's coming back. Maybe it's like Psycho 2. Obviously, we had an opinion about this movie, but it is now time for a second opinion. These are 5-star reviews, culled from Amazon. I can't even decide which ones to read here because they're so good. Ben Conrad writes, plot, characterization, screenwriting, or acting might be the conventional criteria that most film buffs use for grading a movie's greatness. I used to believe that too, until I saw Sleepaway Camp. After that, I drew a new template for my own evaluation.
Amazing.
Based solely on sheer audacity. This movie is poorly written, poorly acted, and it ends if someone just slammed the brakes on a tractor trailer that was leisurely cruising at 200 miles an hour. This movie stops, and you're never the same again. 5 stars.
That's true.
This is my favorite one from Christina Rusta. Oh, actually, not my favorite one. Second favorite one. I gotta say, when I first
thank
watched
you for
this,
clarifying.
Sorry,
I need to know the hierarchy.
Second
of
favorite,
these.
Not as good as my final favorite. I gotta say, when I first watched this movie, I was around 4 years old, and I had nightmares
for a week
over the last shot. Now, when I watch it,
by
being
the way,
24,
nobody remembers their nightmares from 4 years old. That's
maybe if you saw a dick out there like that and a headless kid. Now when I watch it, being 24 as of 2009, I think it's pretty good. it's a really good pass the time kind of movie.
What does that mean?
My brother owns this movie, and we watch it when we order pizza.
Well, for a brother and sister to watch this movie over pizza is really weird.
Something
then we touch each other's junk.
No, not when the pizza arrives, just when they order it.
Something you'll want to have said, I watch Sleepaway Camp. Great movie. 5 stars.
That's something you will... That you is know the what's weirdest. Something I want to say? I've watched Sleepaway Camp. I just haven't been able to say it yet.
... Great movie. I watched Sleepaway Camp. Great. That's part of the whole quote.
Wow.
That's not like, I watched Sleepaway. Yeah. So it's like, you want to have said
amazing.
This is written by, it's just titled, A Kid's Review. Honestly, I don't know what people are thinking when they call this movie bad or dumb. The people who call horror movies funny, that's a sure way to tell that they're bluffing. Don't listen to those people, okay? This is a wonderful slasher flick. I will not give a detailed synopsis, for I do not want to ruin it to you. I will tell you that you are in for quite a scare. The killings are nothing short of spectacular. The characters are somewhat likable. The ending is so scary that when I first watched it, I let out some strange noise. Not quite a scream, maybe a moan of terror, and I ran out of the room. My mother said I looked like I saw a ghost, and I told her I had seen something worse. Watch this movie with a dog. Or if you think...
Wait, what?
Yep. Or if you think you can handle it... I barely can now. I just love that scared feeling. That's why I like well-made horror films.
What?
Watch it alone.
With a dog?
Be warned. You will be scared. I guarantee it. If you are not scared, then I am nothing but a wimp. This will invoke fear in you, be it slight, which I highly doubt. There are some tough-hearted people out there, like war veterans, LOL.
What?
Wait. No, that was a joke. That was a joke.
I still watch this movie. Kidding. And it scares me. By the way, I'm not a kid. I just forgot my password. I'm 17 and I live in Brooklyn, New York. So you know it's not some 8-year-old in the middle of nowhere who gets spooked by the Halloween episodes of South Park. Have fun being scared.
Wow.
Holy cow.
That is one
that
of my favorite.
That was as well written as the script.
Someone also just said this is better than anything that Kubrick has done.
Oh my God, that's great.
Anything that we did not talk about that is worth mentioning.
We've covered it.
Oof.
Definitely watch it. It's on YouTube. Big thanks to Zach Perlman, whose show, The Inbetweeners, airs on Monday nights on MTV. It's a really funny show.
Yeah, thanks, man.
And Brett Gelman is on that show as well.
Brett Gelman is on that show. He kills it. And every episode he's in, he's the best part.
And and you can follow you on Twitter, right?
At Zach Perlman.
And it's with the CH, right?
CK.
CK.
Yeah.
Oh, ooh. I'm glad we clarified that.
Jason, still not on Twitter.
Nope.
But we're both on The League every Thursday night at 10:30 on the FX network. June, what do you want to plug?
I don't know.
Icy's
Ice Pops.
Take a nice long break.
Think about it.
Think about who you want to dedicate this to. Thank you to everybody who listens to the show. Thank you to everybody at Earwolf. Thank you, Cody, for our engineer for the day. Thank you so much. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye. Happy Halloween.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio. Boom.com. Oh, oh, oh. The wolf dead.